entering lesson number four, a lesson on the topic of there's none else besides him, Rav Lightman, please. There's none else besides him. When we hear this in the wisdom of Kabbalah, it is very, very awakening for us. Because together with that, there are many questions, inner feelings that are very deep inside of a person. It immediately evokes many questions. We see many forces. There are good things, there are bad things, real things, false things, true, false, lack of justice. The world is opposite than the Creator being good that does good, and if He is good that good at least, then there's someone that's spoiling it at least. And here we need to come to the foundation of the wisdom of Kabbalah, through which this foundation we have an entrance to the Creator, a way to Him. Meaning it's not just that there's none else besides Him, but through the recognition of that, we reveal Him. We get to know Him. Here is the whole point. Why is it so important to us? This topic, we always choose as the main topic in all our conventions, our source of study, because it's the first foundation that also appears in the book Shamati that I received from Rabash. That's basically including everything. If we try to come closer to the concept of there's none else besides Him, according to how we need to be also in such a way, then we attain the Creator. Because we need to reach equivalence of form. We need to be somewhat like Him to the smallest extent, and then we'll start to feel Him. And the more we want to come closer to Him and reveal Him, it will only be through adhesion. And adhesion is equivalence of form. And equivalence of form is to be like Him. There's none else besides Him. So what is this concept, none else besides Him, that we need to specifically adhere to? How can we take out of all of creation how the Creator creates and how creation works? Let's say we. How can we study His actions? Just as it's written, it's from your actions we know you. How do I know the Creator? Through the actions that I see, examine, scrutinize. The Creator's nature is bestowal and love. His actions are also acts of bestowal and love. What does it mean that I reveal something opposite me? How is it explaining to me that there's none else besides Him? There are many questions. I will not continue with them. It's too bad. It's best that we scrutinize this throughout this lesson. Let's start.
So, none else besides Him. Let's read the first passage, Bala Sulam, Test Part 1, Inner Reflection. The entire reality, Elyonim upper and Tachtonim lower, as one in the final state of the end of correction, was emanated and created by a single thought. That single thought performs all the operations and is the essence of all the operations and the purpose and essence of the labor. It is in itself the entire perfection and the thought after reward.
Meaning everything is just in thought. We don't know what thought is. Also, when we think, what is a thought exactly? What, some brain activity, something that you can examine as a neurological thing that's going on in your brain? Some thing that appears in a brain. What is a thought? Of course, it's not what we think. But what's the internality? But what is the thought? Is it an action? Is it a plan? Is it a desire? What is it? In truth, as much as is written about it, there is no answer to it. The thought of the Creator. The thought of the Creator is meaning, what does He want to happen in the creation? If you could say want, because in Him, desire and thought and result and action and the summary of everything is together. There's no difference like in us, where we act within the concept of time. Therefore, my first question is as such. What is it that everything is but one thought? Meaning that there's no beginning, and there's no end, and there's no middle. There are no actions in between. There's no us who exist in some intermediate state. And what are we doing here? There's none. But simply, everything is only in one action, in its beginning, in its end, and one thought. How can we understand what meaning that we exist in one thought? Start talking about it. Even a few words, each of you. Let's connect to the topic. Go ahead.
Single thought.
What does it mean that we exist in one thought? We, all of reality, all the worlds, everything, in one thought of the Creator. One thought is that whole state in which we don't yet attain yet, because we're built from endless thoughts, endless desires, and with time, in a place, in one thought on behalf of the upper, there's only the giving of the benefit that the Creator wants to provide. One thought is, it's like a person that has one desire, one essence. There's no beginning or end. The whole chain of actions that comes from the beginning to the end, well, everything that happens from the moment he sees the end point, anything that will happen will be to realize that essence. Thought is above clothing in the kelim. And one thought is actually the essence of creation. It's actually the goal for which all the thought occurred, was made, what we need to reach. The fact that there is a thought that is essential also gives us the opportunity, the qualification and comfort to find this essence, to find this thought and work according to its rules. Exactly. There's no left or right deviation here. There's one direction of the thought, the initial thought. It leads us, it guides us, and everything goes by this one thought. I don't know, I can't grip it yet. The only thing that jumps to me is that actually, if everything is in one thought, then the whole separation that we feel is kind of imaginary here. So, Rav, what does it mean that there's nothing but the thought of creation? We talked before, how could it be that everything is one thought? And how could it be now that there is nothing but the one thought? Please. A few words, even though we don't understand this, but a few words in order to connect to the topic. This simply evokes the place. It evokes the light. It's worthwhile. It's good that we remember that it awakens the light. It's written, the end of an action is in the initial thought. So there's probably this force in reality that thought about it. Yes, the whole engagement in this question is getting closer to that whole state, that unified state, that where here between us we can come to that state between us, that thought of creation. Because if we're a thought, we're a dispersed thought that has to bring it to that one thought. And this is suitable to the correction in a way, in a certain way. One thought, that everything is actually aimed at one end point. And just like the head has a thought, from that moment every action the body does is to breach that realization of that thought. That every form that takes on something else but that thought is an incomplete form. And the fact that we even know that there's such a thing, that there's only the thought of creation, doesn't leave us to experience that place where there's only that, to grip it. We're looking for that kli that can grasp that thing. And why is there only this? Because that's actually the goal for which we all exist. That's our goal that we need to reach. Therefore, it's just one thought. There's nothing else. It's the only thing that we need to reach. It kind of helps to focus a little the whole work, because we're actually filled with forms and thoughts and all kinds. And they say, no, there's just one thought. It obligates you to search and to find really the recognition of evil, because this kind of, if they tell you it's positive or wise, it's clarified as nonsense. Yes, from Bchina Aleph to the end of correction, there's one direction, there's one path, which humanity needs to clothe. And the fact that it seems to me or doesn't seem to me, it's because it's part of our advancement in getting closer to that one thought. There's nothing but the thought of creation. The thought of creation, according to what we learn, is to do good to his creatures. And the meaning of this is that all of reality, as we experience it, it was all created for us in some system that is leading us like a train car to some place. And it's beginning to evoke thoughts. Where am I in this? Meaning, what's the essence? If everything is the thought of creation, then where's the work here? We're going to be reading from Baal HaSulam, the writings of Baal HaSulam, the introduction to the study to the book of Zohar, item 13. Immediately, in a thought to create the creations, his thought completed it all. Because he didn't need a kli of action like us. And immediately emerged and existed all the souls and all the worlds which are future to be created, filled with all the abundance and good and delight and softness that he thought for them, with all their complete finite essence in their souls that would be existing in the end of soul. Meaning, after the will to receive in the souls, received all of it in perfection and inverted to be pure bestowal in equivalence of form to the emanator. And that secret, the sages said about, prior to the creation of the world, there was him and his name was one, because the form of separation that's in the will to receive was not revealed at all in the reality of the souls that emerged in the thought of creation, but rather they were adhered to him in equivalence of form in the way of him and his name are one. Rav, another question. But in general, what does it mean that we're in one thought? What is it considered that we are all in one thought? Please. We're part. You came to study a little wisdom of Kabbalah, right? Well, so that's exactly what the wisdom of Kabbalah is. How to be in one thought. How? Please. What does it mean that we are in one thought?
We are parts of the same thought, and together we comprise one thought. Today I have... You want to say something?
You started it nice. I think that that point of our aspiration towards the friends, we can grasp what one thought is. Only in that aspiration. There's no other action here.
The thought is working towards a single direction, and we're working in the same direction to realize that thought.
The thought is and is born from the desire. If we create an incorporation between us and longings, like Neve said, if we for one moment flip over the table here and make it into, not to a 2-hour session here, but we really enter into each other as much as possible, then we can create this intention, this desire inside of us that will control us. We'll be similar to the Creator, to that thought.
And it's really that we're all stepping on the same plane, flying to the same heart. And this is what it means to be in one thought.
On the way home from the Congress last night, we did a summary workshop, and Rav just threw us to a place that we don't even know. And from this whole mess, it turned out that all that we need is to come to that place of the heart where you can connect to the friends, we can bring gifts to the friends. So our gift today is that it's bringing light, all these questions.
The beauty about the one thought is that it consists of so many individual parts that are integrated and that are so different, but the fact that they unite into one thought, it gives it its strength.
For all in one thought, no one... Well, this thought that was born is really a, it's born from the inner effort of a 10 that is asking the revelation of the Creator.
Reading excerpt number 3, Ramchal. The essence of Kabbalah is only to know the guidance of the upper will. Why he created these created beings, what does he want from them, and what will be the end of all the cycles of the world?
That's the wisdom of Kabbalah, meaning, and Ramchal says, to know the guidance of the upper will, why he created these creatures, what he wants from them, will be the end. Meaning to know the beginning and the process of creation and the end of it. That's the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's a very practical thing that we live in. We're in it, so it's worthwhile for us to know. Therefore, why was the wisdom of Kabbalah not revealed earlier? Because it is revealed only to the extent in which people are ready for this, that they're willing to work with this internality, with this issue, and for their benefit. Why does a person need, why must he know the guidance of the Creator and how the Creator relates to the creatures, to created beings? Why is it that the knowledge of the providence of the Creator filling us with pleasure? Why do we want to know the plan of the Creator, the plan of creation, why he's doing so, and why does that fill us with pleasure when we attain it? Please.
Why do we want to know? Very simple. Everyone wants to know how the world works, how to adjust myself to the system controlling the world. It equals 100% joy, happiness, zero suffering. And it's sheer pleasure, because it's the opposite to egoism. We have to acquire a quality that we have no understanding of what it is, but by this mutual effort that we make to invert our desire, to dress a new quality upon it, this creates a kind of harmony with the system. And again, it introduces you into this wonderful place, and you're flying all the way through on cruise control.
I have a little bit of a different angle. It's like you're getting control over everything. I get control of life and reality. And you know, like right now I have no control. I don't know what's going to be in a minute, what thought's going to come to me, what desire I'll have. I know that there's some force that's operating and controls it. And it's probably the root, his root, that brings us to this state.
And this is why it's pleasure.
Rav, this is what he says, you know, I'm getting control that I know the guidance of the Creator. Well, and what does it help you? Because the moment you get control, you can't do it any other way. It binds you, right? So what does it give you? What freedom do you get? Continue. Please.
First of all, the pleasure itself is dealing with the roots. We talked about the purpose of the thought of creation. So dealing with the spark, with attaining these roots. This is the infinite pleasure that we're talking about. We attain it every time on a different level. The control that we attain, it's eventually that I'm controlled from above. I want to be independent, but only after I acquire these two forces. After I acquire the quality of the Creator. And this is how we become a new human being.
It's a hard question. First of all, I have no freedom right now, for sure. It's like a child has a desire he wants, and the parents have a different will. And actually, from having the desire of the parents and his desire that they don't connect. So, of course, the child suffers, and maybe even the parents suffer because it hurts them. So that there's a developed child who wants to give something and operates according to their desire, then it'll be good. So maybe it's like that for us too.
A person has to know the governance of the Creator, but only after he starts working in the Ten. Before that, it's the very opposite. He has the opposite quality. So, first of all, he understands that he has to annul himself towards the Ten, and then he can work with their desires and to use the Creator and to fulfill in order to fulfill them. This is the reward that we're looking for.
I think that in the inner feeling, we're feeling the development and meaning to come to that common desire and that sensation that we don't know, and start playing with it, assemble it, clothe it inside of you to all of a sudden feel the whole world and all the forces that are operating. It's fascinating. It's something new, and at last there's meaning to this life. So, of course, there's no choice. It's good that there's no choice. That's what we want.
You have very little choice, actually. First of all, we're talking about those that this question lights up in them. And people that start inquiring, finding out that they are slaves to their desire. So, setting myself free from that, maybe that's being free. And this only depends on who do I want to crown as king over myself? Rav. Why? Is it that the moment that I attain the Creator and really see all the actions, all the beginning, all the end, all the actions, and the things that we read and have to read in reality, so that all of reality, it becomes something static for me. That's it. This is how it is. Why? that I'm adhered to the Creator so much in this respect, meaning that I can't do anything outside of that. Why? By becoming the servant of the Creator, I also become free by that. Completely free. Like the Creator. This is how he wants to see the created being. Please.
The ego has this quality to take control over reality. And the moment I connect everything to the Creator, it frees me from responsibility. It gives me room for work and a reward that is connected to the work and not dependent by the result, just the work.
What does it mean to be the Creator's servant, to be connected to the Creator? It means that you're actually working in order to bestow. Now, if you're working in order to bestow, the entire purpose of the work is you're like a small creator every time. You take a part of the desire and correct it. Take a part and correct it. And this way, crown the quality of the Creator on him all the time. That's the freedom. You actually become like him. You become like the Creator by correcting something new.
Also, the point in the heart is a role, meaning a person who has a point in the heart awakened in him, a desire to figure out the purpose of life. It's not a desire, it's a role. It's a job he has to implement. He has to have from that feeling, he has to realize it.
Yeah, the realization is in the created being. And let's hope that we'll achieve this as quickly as possible. It's not being enslaved to the will to receive, and it's not to be in complete bestowal, but it's receiving in order to bestow. These are two forces inside of me that I don't know how can they work together, but we expose it every time against the new desire that awakens in me and against my connection with the friends that do help me crown the quality of bestowal over the will to receive every time. In the coupling between them, something new is created that didn't exist before.
The truth is that there's only one desire, one thought that operates in all of reality, and me, who doesn't see it, thinks as if I have freedom, but every action, everything is under one. I have to kind of like flow with it, as we say, then I'll get the greatest freedom of all, because that's the only freedom there is, to move with that thought.
The dead are free. Meaning that if the will to receive dies, meaning that you no longer use it in its ordinary form, where it just wants to receive, then I'm free. I can work with the desires of the friends and be in bestowal towards them. And there are never any kind of limitations of a bestowal. It's all in the work, in our work of connecting with one another until we're free.
And who's freer than the Creator? No one. So if we're in our work as the Creator's servant, come to be in a form like the Creator, it's the freest you can be. There's no fear than him.
Excerpt number 7. Bala Sulam says, all the thoughts that enter a person's mind are the act of the Creator. That is to say, it is not what a person feels, that he draws them from some place or that they originate from him. This is false, the biggest lie. Rather, each thought, the smallest of the smallest, the Creator sent it to the mind of man, and that is the motivating force of man and of beast and of every living thing. Again, excerpt number 7. All the thoughts that enter a person's mind are the act of the Creator. That is to say, it is not what a person feels that he draws them from some place or that they originated from him. This is false, the biggest lie. Rather, each thought, the smallest of the smallest, the Creator sent it to the mind of man, and that is the motivating force of man and of beast and of every living thing.
All the thoughts from the moment I was born until the moment I conclude my life come to me from the Creator. So where am I? Also, when I want to operate against those thoughts, it's also not me, it's the Creator sending those to me as well. So there's no man? That's the question. Please.
That
no, doesn't exist. In this situation, it doesn't exist. When is man created? He's created from connection. Then he's a man. What you have before that is the will to receive in order to receive, which is nothing. It's raw stuff. And the connection, connecting to a level where he as if creates himself, that's the upshoot of the connection that we make.
Maybe that switch, that inversion, is the place where the Creator, where man is born, basically. Because the thought of Creator is for there to be a forces from this oppositeness to be able to invert themselves and do a certain sacrifice to make that choice in the ten and the friends, and otherwise creation is already in the third phase would end. But this force of resistance against our default, that's probably where the freedom is, that's where the inversion happens, and that's where we become a man, which happens from all the efforts of everyone to come out of that state, even though the Creator put that in us. But he nevertheless left a small place, the Kripa of Noga, or whatever we call it, that where we can make a little decision, the one and only decision, join the ten or immerse in myself. And that's probably the forces that we have.
It raises many questions. What Bala Sulam, the way Bala Sulam canceled us instantaneously. If so, we can demand the Creator to be responsible for our thoughts. I want different thoughts. We want to think about the friends, and maybe we could give the Creator an exercise. If it's so, let's try and focus on a single thought where we're all asking for the friends to be in adhesion, and let's see what turns out.
It turns out that we just become people who could testify what the Creator is doing. There's some movie that's coming to us. It's being projected for us. And we're connecting here to the efforts of something that's called similar to Him, equal to Him, so that we will understand a bit more what the gift that is being wanted to be bestowed upon us.
The fact that we're separated from this moral force right now, it doesn't allow us to see that there's just one thought, just one desire that's working. Actually, my ability to eventually be a man, to be like the Creator, to be an Adam, it's also not true, because if I'll start working under that desire, then I'll work under that desire all the time. But once I adapt this new point of view of working through bestowal, I'll be able to see how it works through me and how it works in the entire world.
Yeah, it sounds like a person and sounds like an individual, but in actuality, man is Adam, is being similar to the Creator.
Rav, I'm kind of, I don't know, I got as if this kind of, I was surprised by as if you disagreeing, being unable to accept this law that everything that we as human beings in this world receive in our mind, in our thoughts, and also in our desire, by the way. But here he was talking especially about the thought. It all comes directly from the Creator, that there's none else besides Him, and He is the one that gives us all of our thoughts, from the best to the worst. And therefore we, in this state, it's called that we're in slavery, in exile, that we're not human beings, that all are deemed beasts, that this way there's nothing free about us. We're slaves to our will to receive that the Creator controls. I've created the evil inclination. So it says, this is what he says. So what do we have? Until we come out of the evil inclination, we have no thought and no free desire. Only then do we elevate ourselves to Egypt, or it doesn't matter how you call it, to a state where all of us are truly like beasts, like marionettes, doesn't matter how you call it. We're controlled only by pleasure and suffering, rising to a new level. There, we're the ones that determine our thoughts and desires. Right? First of all, talk about this. The second thing is, why are we the ones that determine our thoughts and desires on this second level? If we identify the Creator, if we identify with the Creator, then we're simply taking on a new method. How are we free? By, instead of actions of reception, crossing to actions of bestowal. What, then the Creator isn't the one sending us our thoughts and desires? We, as if ourselves, pull them and project them, program ourselves, and this is why it's called free. How are we now slaves? And how do we become free? Please.
We're servants by searching, chasing the pleasure, no matter what it is. Because to receive, I want pleasure. I don't care about anything else. And when you start to become free, we start to relate our actions to some goal, to the thought of creation we talked about in the beginning, to the general correction of the created beings. And then we actually find ourselves as a part that needs to complement the general form, the general Adam that needs to be revealed.
Yeah, the servitude is one of fulfillment that never comes. And even if it does come, it ends really quickly. It's kind of a pointless, bitter servitude. And inverting our attitude from fulfillment to the giver of the fulfillment, and when we start putting the emphasis on the giver of the fulfillment, then we see all of our discernments in our attitude towards Him as something that's endless, because He's endless, and therefore all of our work is to come and every time determine a new attitude that's closer to the giver. Every time become a bit more like the giver, and also having the knowledge that we will never be the giver, but we will be able to make ourselves as similar as possible to Him.
Something very freeing in this whole there's none else besides Him. It's something that feels free. It could be that our freedom is trying to tie together all those thoughts and that He's sending to me and why He's sending them to me. And from the study of the wisdom, it also leads us to connection and leads us to a connection between us. It could be that our freedom is in trying to bind these things to Him and do so towards the connection between us. It could be also from your actions, we know you from that place.
I had this imagery when the friends talked. It's like there's this thought working in the brain. How limited he is. How he really can't do anything. How frustrating it is that he wants to activate the body, operate it, but there's some kind of disconnection. It's like a paralyzed person. It's called a locked-in situation where a person, he's conscious, but he can't realize his consciousness. This is exactly our situation. So we are pioneers in terms of wanting to realize the thought of creation and carry it out into action. It's like feeling all the time that my mind can't grasp the question. But if everything, well, first of all, the Creator, He controls me. And He controls me in a way that He gives me both ends in order to learn about the thought of creation, to understand the rules that work in it, the purpose to reveal it. By being a part of this system, by experiencing it, I discover the purpose. I discover that there's a thought, that I'm working in it, that it works according to certain laws, and if I'll work correspondingly, then I will reach an endless pleasure that's awaiting everyone. We're slaves by waiting for the Creator to awaken the deficiencies in us, the states of darkness, and not by heading towards greater connection. The difference is, it's like there's a program that we're in today, and there's no freedom there. And with God's help, we'll get an upgrading. And in this new program, which comes after the Exodus of Egypt, we start understanding part of the questions. We take the reins into our hands. We understand what the goal is. How should we advance? And now I have the actions of the Creator on the one side and the exertion on the other. And now you have to exert yourself in order to get back on track. It's like getting new software, but you have to operate it every time and you restart. I don't know. It seems to me that the ability, the possibility that we have to, what we can do, is Tzimtzum Masach and Or Chozer. We're working together. I can't do it on my own. I have to come out of myself in order to do this. So there is a certain series of actions that come from content, concession with the upper force. But if we behave as usual, then there is no consent because the thought comes automatically. I don't know, maybe the feeling that suddenly you discover how reality is built and how you have to operate in reality and what specific actions they have to perform in order to attain the goal, in order to give contentment to the Creator. This gives a very good and free feeling that you're not controlled by your inner interests, by the desire to exploit others, but that you do something useful. I just want for us to recall a moment and contemplate on what are we doing and who are we doing it with and give thanks. Yeah, and also maybe this has to do with our freedom, that we ascribe freedom or meaning to different other things than the one operating us, that behind every friend there's the Creator, and it's none else besides Him that's playing with us right now, and it's a very interesting game. And maybe by dealing with it all the time and trying to depict it and feel it, maybe this is the expression of our freedom. What follows is that the actions of the created being are actions of gratitude that provide connection with proper thought. So let's be thankful. I see two pictures. The one is that the biggest freedom you have is when you're dancing with your partner and he's leading and it's a single motion, and then you really feel free. And the other thing is that you're swimming in the ocean and you allow the waves to do whatever they want with you. It's also a tremendous feeling of freedom. So what I annulled myself. We are slaves in terms of not being able to raise a mutual prayer. We can do anything but that. Bala Sulam, Pri Chacham, The Secret of His Names. Guys, this is very non-simple material. It's much deeper than you think. Much deeper than you think. Try and activate your thoughts and pay attention to the friends. Suddenly you'll see that behind every friend there's the Creator that's trying to tell you something. Try and be, how to say, investigators, police investigators, to discover the Creator behind every friend. What is He trying to tell you there? Listen. The Creator, who wants to operate my friends, He sends them one thought, and that thought shakes them. It's just like when He sends rain on the ground and the ground can't feel the one sending the rain. The very same way man can't feel the one who sent him this thought, because he won't feel it before it shall come and become a part of his imagination. And because it's under his authority, he feels it as a part of his own. And in this, you can understand that no thought can grasp him. And the reason is simple, because the Creator, He doesn't want to send us such a desire that we'll be able to attain Him, but He prepared an order of thoughts for us. And from this order, eventually, we will necessarily have to attain Him in the complete measure.
Again.
The Creator who wants to motivate my brothers, He sends them a single thought, and that thought shakes a person up. It's just like rain coming down on the ground, and the ground can't feel the one sending the rain. The very same way man is never capable of feeling the one who sent him this before it enters the authority of his imagination. And because it is under one's authority, it seems to him as part of himself. Thus, we understand that one does not have a grasp on the thought. And the reason is simple, because the Creator does not wish to send us such a thought that will be ready for one's attainment. Rather, He arranged for us a sequence of thoughts, and from this sequence, one must at last fully attain it. And this is the meaning of, lest none should depart from Him.
So when can we grasp something that comes to us from the Creator compared to something that doesn't come from the Creator? Or at all not think, does it come or not come? Because it's for sure coming from Him. You talk between you also about my question. Scrutinize the question between you. Try to effort a little bit more. Today's just the second day. We still have time. We're going to sit until we reach, until we don't get. Please.
I think that Rav's guiding us and having to understand that all the thoughts that we have, all of them come from Him. There's a purpose for it, even, and what we'll read, it says that the order of thoughts, the way they reach us, they guide a person in order to attain that desired thought. So all the thoughts come from there.
So on one hand, we get the thought that we should understand that we have no thought or anything. On the other hand, he says that he's sorting this order of thoughts that kind of obligate us. So there is some kind of topic and cause and consequence or something like that that we have to follow with actions and through them get to a result. And I hope that we're managing to do so. I actually love that Rav is taking it to that place, because really on this level we don't even exist. We have no thought here anyway.
I'll give you a direction. Maybe there's a difference between receiving directly from the Creator or receiving through the friends. Go ahead.
He just took the words out of my mouth. To grasp the Creator and the big reality is almost impossible as far as we are concerned, because it's subjective observation. But when we work in the ten, it actually becomes able to us, because it's like we're working towards the friends. We're working and operating on the desires of a friend, and we're not operating on ourselves. We're operating outwardly.
You can't directly receive from the Creator. That's impossible. Ascribing the desire. What you said is incorrect. I mean that really, when I receive and work with the desires of the friends, the meaning is that I'm really doing spiritual work. But in order to be able to do it, I need the Creator to help. I have no way to really come and connect to the chisaron of the friends unless I have that quality of bestowal from above that pulls, creating the connection that can't be created in any other way between two desires to receive. So on the one hand, I really have to do everything that I can in order to acquire His chisaron. On the other hand, I know that without the Creator, and it's not exactly clear who and what that is, but I can't receive His chisaron, and then I have no connection with the Creator. It's a kind of a loop.
But He helps. He helps, because like, now we hear the Rav. It's like the Creator is hiding behind Him and talking to us. We're reading texts. It's like the Creator is talking through the text. Here in Sada 10, we hear the friends that are constantly talking about it. It's something that wraps us and obligates us to give attention to this, to the meaning to this. And when I look at it through the friends and seek it, I discover maybe how far I am from the quality of bestowal. And from the quality of bestowal in love is in the friends. And that's where I have to discover it, how much I love them. Whether I'm absolute for them completely, or, and maybe that builds some prayer in me for the Creator, some place of request, a prayer. Without the interaction between us, I don't know if it's even possible to create some kind of address to the Creator.
Everything mixed together. On the one hand, the Creator gave us the quality of reception. On the other hand, we're told that behind every friend, there's the Creator. And you have to make the scrutiny. You have to peel off yourself different psychological barriers and other barriers in order to hear that it's the Creator that's talking to you directly, personally, in order to advance you. How are we supposed to become such professionals constantly scrutinizing what is it that the Creator is sending us? How do we in turn how do we get that sensor so that I won't or we won't need Rav to tell us every moment that it's the Creator talking to you through the friends? How do we develop this kind of independence between us?
I'll say what the friend said, only in other words. The Creator is operating in me directly, only He does so through the friends.
Excerpt number 15. All the contradictions against His unity that we taste in this world, even though that to begin with, they separate us from the Creator by making an effort to keep the Torah and mitzvot in love with all our heart and soul, as we are commanded to do, in order to give contentment to our Maker. All those forces of separation do not affect us into subtracting any of the love of the Creator with all our souls and might. Rather, in that state, every contradiction we have overcome becomes a gate for attainment of His wisdom. This is so because there is a special quality in each contradiction, revealing a special degree in attaining Him. And those worthy ones who have been rewarded with it turn darkness into light and bitter into sweet. For all the powers of separation from the darkness of the mind and the bitterness of the body have become to them gates for attainment of sublime degrees. Thus the darkness becomes a great light and the bitter becomes sweet. Hence, to the extent that they previously had all the conducts of His guidance toward the forces of separation, now they have all been inverted into forces of unification and sentenced the entire world to the side of merit.
Question: why does our whole path need to be that we're getting stuck, getting blows, problems, troubles, confusions, everything explodes, our heart's torn, our head is bursting, and specifically in those places where we are in such feelings, we later feel it opens and we reveal the Creator. Why? Please, quickly.
Because the place that I'm stuck in, it shows me how opposite to the quality of bestowal I am.
Yes, first of all, because the will to receive suffers from that state. It doesn't like being in that state. On the other hand, we have an address to the Creator. We want to be adhered to Him more specifically upon such states.
Because we get only suffering from the Creator, and this suffering that's seemingly bad for us, it's actually a blessing. This is our place to develop. Our ability to develop is only in such places, not where we fall asleep in our comfort zone. This is the lie. This is the evil.
The Creator does talk to us directly. It's just not through the friends, it's His posterior. We see what suffering and distress, and why those stumbles and blows, that's the place of their work. But that's where we need to bring our inner exertion and to go against that seeking of comfort and pleasure, which is our motive operandum.
Yeah, the will to receive measures itself against something on the outside, and when we suddenly feel that there's no satisfaction in the will to receive, it opens a certain question and it's a deficiency. And it's the Creator that gives us this confusion for us to reveal ourselves.
If we were to compare it to a medical procedure, the most invasive thing you could do, it could totally invert a person. You go, instead of going like this way, you're going to make everything inside and mix it up so it'll work in a different direction. Who would agree to such a thing if he's not, we can't live anymore without it? That's exactly the necessity we have to come to. Without that, there's no chance.
נעשים לפתחים והחושך עובר ציטוט מספר 13, כותב בעל הסולם באיגרת א', הכל מאמינים.
Excerpt number 13, בעל הסולם, letter 1. Everyone believes in private providence but did not adhere to it at all. The reason is that an alien and foul thought cannot be ascribed to the Creator, who is the epitome of the good that does good. However, only the true workers of God does the knowledge of private providence open, that He caused all the reasons that preceded it, both good and bad. Then they are cohesive with private providence, for all who are connected to the pure are pure. Since the guardian is united with its guarded, there is no apparent division between bad and good. They're all loved and all clear, for they are all carriers of God's vessels, ready to glorify the revelation of His uniqueness. It is known by instinct, and to that extent they have knowledge from the end that all the actions and the thoughts, both good and bad, are the carriers of God's vessels. He has prepared them. From His mouth they've came. And at the end of correction, it will be known to all. Excerpt number 12, Zohar, Tetzaveh, item 86. There is no light except for that which comes out of the darkness. This is so because when that sight surrenders, the Creator rises above and His glory grows. Also, the work of the Creator is only out of darkness, and there is no good except from within the bad. And when one enters a bad way and leaves it, the Creator rises in His glory. Hence, the perfection of everything is good and bad together. and to later depart to the good, and there is no good except for that which comes out of the bad, and in that good the glory of the Creator increases, and this is complete work.
And the whole method is actually, how can we go very quickly through the bad in the right direction, right guidance, to reach the good, and again to the bad, and then to the good, and then the bad, and then the good, until we reveal all the evil inclination, but with the trend of going through it in order to reveal the good. Because otherwise, we don't need to be in it to feel it bad. We enter it in a way that we're obligated to do it in order to have a kli, a deficiency for the good only. And then also the evil, also the darkness, will light like it's light. This is actually the approach that we should have in our method. And as far as the unification of there's no else besides Him, if we put our heart on the solution, which is there, they did something. Is that from the picture? From what did they do there? I meant to, well, I want to correct it. What I meant, like this. I'm already drawing 8 and not 10. Because you are 8s. Yes. So what's important to us is not that these 8 are ignited, but that it's this place between them. This place between them is called the kli for the revelation of the Creator. This is called the kli of the revelation of the Creator, and not the individual qualities. This is where the Creator is revealed. This is His revelation. This is the light, the soul. Therefore, what's happening in each and every one of us is not at all important. We don't take into account our qualities. No. Only what's between us. Only what's between us. That's what's important. Therefore, when we move with our thoughts and perception from each from himself to this collective, this general state, then here we live in a different way in which all those questions, Creator, me, Providence, all is known in advance, where I am, where my choice is, where's the freedom, and so on. It all disappears. We begin to see the world in a different way. Therefore, why am I talking about this? Because the main thing for us is here to reveal our common kli. And then, here we attain that there's none else besides Him, and with that, we attain that we are completely free. Completely free. Just as it's written, my sons have triumphed over me, that you made me. You, how should we say this? The Creator is giving us an opportunity to manage Him. Just like a little child spins his family. His desire is what is important. Because then the Creator can reveal His love to us, and we know how to use that love correctly. And then we become completely free. Otherwise there won't be equivalence of form. There won't be adhesion. So the main thing for us to build this is to build this kli between us where He begins to be revealed. We will think all the time about this kli. And now I want to invite. Yes. I have another half an hour. Do you agree? Let's go. Nice. We have to tell them thank you very much. Ten. Nine. Okay.
Excerpt number 9. Ba'al HaSulam, Shamati. Number 4. What is the reason of the heaviness one feels when annulling before the Creator in the work? It therefore follows that the essence of one's work is only to come to the sensation of the existence of the Creator, meaning to feel the existence of the Creator, that the whole earth is full of His glory. This will be one's entire work, meaning all the vigor that he puts into the work will be only to achieve that and not for any other thing. One should not be misled into having to acquire anything. Rather, there is only one thing that a person needs, namely faith in the Creator.
We know that faith in the Creator is considered feeling the Creator. Faith is a feeling, because feeling is bestowal. According to the quality of bestowal, we feel the Creator.
He should not think of anything, meaning that the only reward that he wants for his work should be to be rewarded with the faith in the Creator.
So the main thing in our spiritual work, but in general, why we exist at the moment, in the reality that appears to us as this world, is in order to attain the force of faith, called the force of feeling, of equivalence of form, according to the quality of bestowal that we acquire, and by that we feel the Creator according to the equivalence of our qualities. And the feeling of the Creator is called faith, because faith is the force of Bina. So according to the quality of, or force of bestowal of Bina, that we reveal accordingly the Creator. Here comes the question, how and what will we do in order to long only to faith, to revelation of the Creator, to bestowal? Why do they use the word faith in order to not confuse us? That really, attainment of the Creator, revelation of the Creator, sounds very egoistic. And faith is already something that is understood to us that we receive only from rejection. So the question is as such, how not to aspire for anything else but faith? Please.
Realizing our free choice, which is choosing the environment. That this is what it chose me. And I constantly annul myself in order to be able to absorb it and project it back to it.
It's actually not to want the pleasure, but to reveal the giver of the pleasure. To reveal that quality of bestowal amongst us.
It depends on two things. The one is the greatness of the Creator, the greatness of the quality of bestowal. That the greater it is, the more we'll want to be like it. Just so, because it's bestowal. And the other thing is the place where we work, the place of work. Meaning if we want to disclose it in the ten, to the ten, then it doesn't matter. This is the only thing that we want to yearn for.
Yeah, you took my words. Really, if we want to come to equivalence of form, then we can do that only through the ten, only through our environment, our work in this environment. And to succeed in this work, it really should be really important to us. The more we invest in something, it becomes more and more important to us, and that's how we want it more.
And faith on previous levels before we were born, it was something passive that you follow with your eyes blind. But here, it's a kind of artistry. It's something that you have to work with all the time. It's craftsmanship. And from the multiplicity of actions, you reach faith and equivalence of form and so on.
Yes, the word faith is made up of trust in the Creator. I mean, I stop trusting in myself and the actions that I'm doing for myself, but I'm looking outwards. I'm like seeking the Creator in the friends, in the ten. I start to believe in the friends and not in myself.
I remember I heard this one time that faith is to raise the importance of the quality of bestowal upon the will to receive. So how can I rise above that? It's only by immersing myself into the quality of the friends, and that constantly shows me that this is what I have to do. And only if I'll open my friend's eyes, I'll see that this is what they're doing all the time. All the time, they're doing whatever they can in order to help me try and acquire that faith. Yeah, and this is something that I can see only if I can really annul myself and see the Creator behind the friends. I can annul myself only if I build such an environment that is all the time in such relations, and I want to be a part of it. It forces me to react this way. Like Nove started saying, that our only choice is the environment. How do I build it? My biggest fear is that I'm wasting my time. And by being in an environment that constantly adheres me to the goal, giving me the importance of the goal, I see life in a different light. And it's something very egoistic, meaning my life depends on the extent to which I cleave on to the environment. If I really want to reach a state where I aspire for faith, or bestowal, it means that I have to annul myself before the friends and to integrate with them in order to absorb this desire. We need the friends to be in this direction all the time, for them to yearn for this all the time, for their point to be on fire, for them to want to be integrated in the friends all the time, to push the friends into the center of our connection, into our mutual yearning, pulling them more and more. By hugging them, by yelling at them, doesn't matter how. It's like with your child, that he doesn't want to do something, but sometimes you have to force him because you understand that eventually this is good for him. This is the most important thing for the friends to be in this thing. Because the friends is the Creator's way to show me my situation. This is how he shows me what do I have to do in life. But if the friends around me are dead, so am I. And vice versa. So this is how we can work on ourselves, not necessarily through what we see as our friends. And therefore, setting a personal example, the personal example that a friend gives in the ten, it lifts everyone and the importance and the connection more and more. Everyone raises the friends and bring them closer. And this is how this love goes and grows. And also, even though that I'm not only that I have to awaken the friends, I see that I have to see their greatness. Even if I think that that friend isn't really on fire or whatever, it's me. It's me who sees that. So I have to see where is his contribution, because otherwise he wouldn't have been here. What does he bring into the ten? And if I can see that, this is how I measure my faith. Everyone really has an opportunity to burn the friends with envy. Really, think about it. Going for our connection, for the friends to really want to shush you, to erase you. But why? Because you give them an example for the connection. It's amazing. The friends of Rabbi Shimon, they didn't burn each other in vain, but they burned each other with envy. Excerpt number 16. You have to be very stubborn in the work of the Creator, regardless what happens. Remember it well, since you will need it very much at the beginning of the work of the Creator, because one must be very stubborn and very strong and brave to hold himself and stand his ground, even though he gets knocked down time and time again, and one must now allow himself to completely fall, God forbid, because all these falls and descents and confusions and so on, it is necessary to go through them before entering the gates of Kedusha, sanctity. And all the truly righteous also went through this, and know that one must go through a very narrow bridge, and most important is the rule not to be afraid at all. Again.